Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for waking up with us and being a Tolo. That's what Turn It On, Leave It On stands for. The Cowboys press conference to open up the season will start live on the station at 1 p.m. today. The KNC masterpiece will kick off our coverage, and then we'll be out in Oxnard with G-Bag next week on your official home of America's team. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt.
Will there be a dinner?
You got to see the Rangers schedule. I meant to do that yesterday.
They're off for five anyway.
Huh?
I mean, they're off for five out there anyway.
I'll see you in Oxnard, sir.
That's right. That's right. Are you
asking it more in the sense of will there be a dinner given our beef?
Well, yeah, like, you know, because you got to. Can we break bread?
Yeah, we can break bread. It's all fun.
In California, be the fake chips and salsa they have.
We're
out
just
there.
Giving noogies to little brother. That's what we're doing. That's all.
Dead you legs, know, Eric baby. And Zach are always down to hang out. You know,
I don't know if Zach is right.
I don't know about Zach. Right, Zach and Broadus may not show up, but we shall see. That's a good question. We got a training camp station and Cowboy preview later on to get to. But the big sports argument that I was pretty fascinated by had to do with the WNBA All-Star game. Caitlin Clark did not show up and play. No three-point contest, no game. I did not watch. I watched the highlights with the four-point shot that they had in the game. The women decided to wear shirts to make a statement with a labor dispute that they have going on. Pay us what you owe us. They all met, commissioner, everyone in the room getting together All-Star weekend, and the players said it was an absolute waste of time. So when they wore these shirts, this set off a fuse on social media that everybody reacted to, including you guys.
Yeah, because you're having a CBA discussion. First of all, so Kelsey Plum, and I like Kelsey a lot. Kelsey got up there.
I see why Darren Waller did what he did now.
Kelsey got up there and said,
"This was so cheap."
Right. That essentially, it was us in the meeting that came up with the idea for the shirts. The Team Clark wasn't even in the room.
Team Clark did not represent.
Listen, you know, this is where y'all are going to lose.
You're only having those talks because of Team Clark.
First of all, you're only having those talks because of Team Clark. Second of all, did no one ever tell you that when you are a union, you have to present a united front, even if you're not united? There is no infighting. Y'all are on Team WNBA. There's no Team Clark. There's no Team Plum. This is catty. This is garbage. Like, don't be. I'm a big fan. That's stupid.
So here are all the numbers that the internet came up with. The WNBA doesn't make money. They lost $50 million last year. What money are you talking about? There is, though, for some reason, a new $2.2 billion media deal.
That was all part of the $76 billion NBA. It's all baked in. So the WNBA gets $2.2 billion of the $76.
Okay, so it's not like separate WNBA investors were like,
they negotiated it as a whole. Yeah.
The expansion fees have gone up to $250 million. There's two new teams, the Portland Fire and the Toronto Tempo. I think Caitlin Clark's rookie salary is $86,000.
Something like that sounds right.
$86,000. Now, we know for her, she's ridiculously underpaid, but...
Well, not this year.
What about for others? Bobby, what's your response to this, that the women are getting cheated and shorted out of salary?
It's such a misnomer, like you were just talking about, the whole we get a very tiny percentage of all the money that's made through the WNBA, which is what one of the players said this weekend. You don't make money in the WNBA. It is a literal, but in practice, it's a 501c3. It's a charity organization because it doesn't make money. It's out here just putting the platform up there. The AP had said that the demonstration comes after the players in the league failed to reach a new collective bargaining agreement at an in-person meeting Thursday. But what they don't mention is that I think that agreement failed because the players were 2 hours late while changing into their third outfit. Because one made him, I think this one makes me look a little chubby. The other one, they just didn't feel pretty in. So the mail orders were just like, screw this. We're heading off for the meeting.
I shouldn't have asked you
for
your thoughts.
That's not nice. That's not.
Do you guys respect Dave Portnoy's business sense?
His, look, I mean,
it's no.
not, it's hard. It's
No?
Yeah, as a whole, yes. But he's gotten to a point where his reaction to things he can weather that other businesses could not. And so it's not applicable universally.
All businesses could weather it. It's just whether you care enough or not.
Do you respect his business?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to respect somebody who's made it to that level. It's hard not to respect.
I respect his business sense. Barstool Sports, they're partnering up with FS1 now, and he gave his take, and I want to see you all respond to his take on the girls and their threat.
I don't know how anybody in the world with a brain, and maybe my brain is just bigger than most, can rationally say the women don't deserve more money at this point. Caitlin Clark's rookie salary is $76,000. Nikki Smokes, Mincy make more than her. It's insane. And I know what people are going to say. Well, this league has lost money. It's a charity league. The NBA subsidizes it, blah, blah, blah. This could have been true for the last 10 years or so. Fair argument. It's not true now. The WNBA is exploding by every single metric you look at. TV ratings, merch, revenue, ticket sales, you name it. Like, they just had an expansion team, the Valkyries in Vegas. The fee was $50 million. They have sold out every single game. They are averaging more attendance than a third of the NBA teams. The franchise fee has gone up to $250 million.
Do we agree that the WNBA has fill in the blank in terms of popularity?
Tenfold, 15-fold, 20-fold.
All right.
It's way higher. And look.
So does that legitimize their point?
Yeah. So the problem with the WNBA is in right now is that they're still on the old CBA and the old TV deal. Right. That's why they're losing money, because the TV networks right now are benefiting off the WNBA's increased ratings. The league is not. The league is not benefiting from their increased ratings because their new CBA and the new TV deal hasn't kicked in yet. Once the new TV deal kicks in, they're not going to lose $50 million. So right now, the only one benefiting off the WNBA is ESPN, because they're getting they're able to charge more for the ratings. It's like the NFL. Roger Goodell, if he signs a 10-year media deal with ESPN and NBC, and the first 3 years the ratings tank, the NFL doesn't care. They already got their money. They care on the back end, and like that, because then they're about to re-up their new deal. That's where the WNBA is losing right now, is that they're still on their old TV contract.
I don't know that they're like, they have a better awareness. I don't know that they have more popularity. I don't think it's like there's this whole turn on of like
people. What's the difference with awareness and popularity?
There's a huge difference between awareness and popularity.
If their TV numbers are up,
there are people here at the station who are aware of me and not fans of me. I'm not popular. There's an awareness, though.
Okay.
Like there's the WNBA having more awareness of what's going on in their league doesn't equal that people are fans of the league and spending more money on the league. They're popping in and they're keeping an eye on it more, but you've got instances.
TV Becker's numbers and attendance is up?
I don't know. I know TV numbers are. I don't know about attendance. I know in certain areas it is with like you've got the Caitlin Clark games are up, obviously.
Yeah, I mean,
Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, they're individuals. Right now, they're individuals who are popular. This is not a league that's popular.
That's true. Like, you know, when the Fever came here, they played the game at the American Airlines Center versus where the Wings, I guess where they played the CPAC. In Arlington at UTA, unless they moved all their games. Like, a lot of teams will move, and they'll even denote this on the bottom of the scroll, game played at X stadium as opposed to their normal place.
Which they announced, 2 weeks ago? The Wings are moving their next game against Indiana to the AAC here in, 10 days.
Yeah, so when they can do it there, they do, because, look, I mean, they're much more popular. It is. It's a much more popular league than ever before. They're just not making the money that they want, they need to, that they should be making. And Dave's right. They should be making more. They're not making it yet because their new TV contract hasn't kicked in.
By the way, Kelsey, WNBA All-Star ticket prices dropped 48% after the Caitlin Clark injury news.
Oh, look, there's no doubt. They hate her. They are insulted by every breath she takes.
Why do they hate her, though?
They hate her because
there's
twofold and maybe a combination. There's never been someone so popular, and they probably think, like Bobby, that all the love is not justified by her play. She's not good enough to be warranting all this attention, and you're this. See, they're treating this like some Udonis Haslem grizzled vets of a rookie showing up. You got to pay your dues.
Yeah.
Versus we are in an obsolete, irrelevant league. And if we have a golden goose fall in our laps, let's just go ahead and praise her and prop her up. And they're treating her like they're the 15-year-old grizzled vets. And I'm trying to think of other players who broke in, who had to go through this. Now, media coverage, well, Tiger, a lot of reasons, Fuzzy.
It was a lot of reasons, but there was also a large number of, like, even the non-racial angle were upset that, like, hey, he's coming in. He already got a Nike deal. It was like,
yeah,
X million. He's like, he goes, he has already no pressure on him. Like, we have to worry about this putt to feed ourselves.
If,
he doesn't have to
worry
about that.
If some whiz kid walked in this building and was electric and was praised and loved by the bosses, and everyone knows this person's in here to take over or another market, no experience here, didn't know any of us, and was just given Wolchuk's spot on the afternoon show, we would probably have some jealousy and resentment towards them.
Yeah.
That is what. Now, what is that person going to do for all of us? That's a little bit different because it's not a direct effect on us or the other shows. G-Bag would benefit greatly by subbing Zach out for that person. But it's kind of like that. You're having the red carpet rolled out for you.
Yeah, because LeBron didn't get checked
right.
Like this.
Michael
got froze out of the All-Star game.
Yep.
And
I mean, Kobe kind of, but Kobe also had this entitled, arrogant, like Kobe way more unlikable than Caitlin Clark to start off.
People really, I remember there were people who were irritated early on by Matt Harvey when he came into New York and burst onto the scene. There was like a sense of like, yeah, you're in New York, so you're kind of getting blown up in a way that you shouldn't. There was a little bit of that, but otherwise, yeah, it's not, I can't.
So
think
I get
of
it. I understand
that.
It. The challenge for you as a WNBA player is putting your ego to the side to have it benefit you. Like, let it benefit you versus taking your cheap shots on the floor or your cheap shots at the podium. Even if you don't think she's good enough to deserve it, you're going to benefit. Like, be quiet and let all tides rise. That's the problem here. The professional ego and jealousy being put to the side to ultimately win with finances. Because that's what Caitlin Clark is doing for them. No matter whether you think she's worth it or not, we know that she is the absolute main reason, but they can't let their little egos get over it. They can't accept it.
Honestly,
no, they won't. At least they need to. They need to, but it appears right now that they are digging in.
That's probably the biggest thing is kind of like what you're just saying there is that her level of play flat out this year does not deserve it. It doesn't. It doesn't deserve the praise or anything else. She's been a bad player. And when you look at that, it's probably from their sense, from their view, they can't get over the idea of like, your play isn't worth it compared to her branding is and what she's bringing to them is. And that's just the jump they can't make. Like, for instance, Jerry, it's like how Jerry frustrates people where it's like, they haven't had success. Why do you pay attention? Well, because it's the Cowboys and he brings money. Like, that's what he does. And that's what he brings eyeballs. What he does matters.
We got best and worst of the weekend coming up. We're about to go commercial free with the Expressway. We got Billy Currington tickets here on DFW Sports Station. And speaking of DFW, RJ finally says it is now time to have that discussion about the Metroplex's great one after what happened yesterday and over the weekend. We'll have it commercial-free, brand-new ticket giveaway, and best and worst of your weekend after this.
And Scotty Scheffler has his Open Championship and the third leg of golf's Grand Slam.
17 under, four shots clear of the field, more dominance from DFW. Good morning, Metroplex. We're commercial free with the Expressway here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. We got Pepe back from vacation. We'll hear about the Floribama Shore and best and worst of the weekend and a Billy Currington ticket giveaway. We did it with Spieth, I feel like, more than Scheffler attaching DFW to him. You think we take the hometown pride to the level it needs to be when Scotty's doing this?
I think the reunion tower ball was lit up for him this morning.
And what would that be?
I think it said champ.
Okay.
When I was driving in and I saw the reunion tower ball, I was like, why is that lit up in Mavericks colors?
Yeah, it was green and blue. So green the bottom, blue. I figured, is that golf? And then I thought I saw champ. Jordan was born here. Scotty wasn't. Scotty came here and he was like, I don't know, 7 or 8. So, I mean, that's like quick enough. To me,
he's you. He was a Jersey kid who moved to Dallas.
But he moved. I mean, I moved here when I was 17. He was, I think, 7 or 8. So I don't know. I think that's I mean, he's DFW all the way. I mean, he did most of his schooling here.
But we don't really do it with Bryson either. It must be just golf, right?
I dead serious didn't realize Bryson was from here.
Well, he's not. He's from California, but he went to SMU.
I didn't realize Bryson ever lived here.
Now he lives in Grapevine. He's got a huge, massive house on Grapevine Lake. It's fickle. Jordan was the first one, though, right? He was kind of like, you know, he was first of the, you know, to do this and be from here. I mean, there's been a lot of golfers from here, but. You know, he was kind of the poster.
We had this talk once while you were out, I think, where Choppy was talking about the Royals coming to town. He's like, well, and you expect some better audiences because, you know, Bobby, local kid, will be there. And I was like, he is local. Like, Bobby Witt's local. Like, his dad played for the Rangers. He grew up here. But, like, I don't know that people in DFW actively think, like, Bobby Witt Jr. is ours. Like, the only person I can think of, honestly, right now that I'm like, has a big profile, athletics or otherwise, that people are like, that's ours, is Post Malone. That, like, here in DFW. And it's because he so frequently claims it and talks about it. I think Mahomes...
Which he's the same thing as Scotty. He wasn't born here.
Mahomes
either.
Is thought of as being from here. Because Mahomes was Longview. But, I mean, Mahomes is thought of being from here because he shows up to the local games. Mavericks he's fan. Always talking him up on social media. So, I think there's just... Maybe there's not as much... Maybe Scotty's not as loud. Or maybe it's just the sport just doesn't lend itself to it.
Yeah, I just want to know from the Tolo watching. When you're watching Scheffler... clinch this on Sunday or lead throughout the tournament, are you saying, yes, that's Dallas pride right there. He's a part of us. I'm just curious. 877-881-1053, Franklin Frankel, injury attorney, text line.
817, I didn't even know Scheffler's from DFW until just now. Everyone's always talked about Jordan.
Yeah, that's just the way, you know, it's kind of like it's fickle with how it is. People in the golf world talk about Scheffler all the time because of that. But if you're outside, same thing with the baseball. Like if you're in the youth baseball world, everybody talks about Bobby Jr., but outside of baseball, you know, how many people know?
So last week, we talked about Scotty's fulfillment clip. Like, what am I doing this for? You know, I'm searching. I'm just wondering. Ritma, it flipped his world upside down. He's shaking his head in mystery and confusion right now. Well, he was asked after winning another major, how's this fulfillment?
I've said it for a long time. Golf is not... how I identify myself. I don't identify myself by winning tournaments, chasing trophies, you know, being famous or whatever it is. Like when I go home, if I go to there's two Chipotles that I eat at home. There's one, well, actually not really one anymore. There's one right where I grew up. It's kind of near SMU's campus. If I was to go to that Chipotle and try to eat nowadays, it would be very difficult for me. There's another one in a different part of town that I'm not going to tell you where it is. But if I go there, nobody recognizes me ever. And so famous is just one of those things. It's like in some circles, like right now I'm the best player in the world. This week I was the best player in the world. You know, I'm sitting here with the trophy. We're going to start all over in Memphis, you know, back to even par. Show goes on. And it's hard to describe what it feels like because, I don't feel any different because I've won a golf tournament. You know, this is not the be-all, end-all for me, but I'm extremely grateful for it. I mean, I have worked since I was 2 or 3 years old to have a chance to play professional golf for a living. And now I've been able to win tournaments that I just dreamed of playing in. And it's an amazing feeling, and I'm so grateful to be able to live out my dreams. But, you know, like I said, my faith in my family is what's most important to me. And I try to live as normal a life as possible because I feel like a normal guy. I have the same friends I had growing up. I don't think that I'm anything special just because, you know, some weeks I'm better at shooting a lower score than other guys are.
Enjoy while you can. Choppy, get ready to write down for the wall of hot takes.
Okay, hang on a second.
He's retiring early. All these all-time comparisons and same number of days between his first and fourth major compared to Tiger. There's not going to be any future Tiger discussions or comparisons because he's not going to be long for this. For too much longer. Just a prediction. He'll be gone 3 to 5 years.
Who retires first, Micah or Scotty Scheffler? Micah keeps saying, I won't play past 30. Not what age. Who retires by a date? Oh. You don't have, because they're different ages, but you just say by a date, who retires first?
Scheffler. I understand the football career. Yeah. I understand the golf career. Is what I should say. And really both apply. I don't believe Micah.
Scheffler may be one of those guys that has like 2 or 3 retirements. him ever tire and then like get like bored and then make a comeback? You would be stunned at the amount of golfers, I'm sure, athletes, who come home at they retire and it's all of a sudden the wife is like, dude, you're here too much.
Yeah,
we've
in Netflix with quarterback, like golf was off for like a day or two and the players get itchy. Like I need to get back on the routine.
They get itchy. The wife is like, dude, you're always here. Go do something. Get a hobby.
Yeah,
see, you know, like that could, I could see that happening.
And that's the thing. These are two obviously wildly different discussions, but like Demi Lovato, speaking of Dallas area
there
people, Demi Lovato, who dealt with a lot of substance abuse issues throughout her career. I heard her give an interview one time and she was talking about how it happened. And she had said, you're in a stadium, you're in an arena, you're performing in front of 40,000 people who are screaming and there's this high and there's this energy. And then the next moment you are in a hotel room by yourself, you're alone. And you're going, I need it. Where's that high again?
The fix.
Yep. And Scotty, as much as he seems just kind of unbothered by it, that's the draw why so many athletes keep coming out of retirement, is because it's like, I need that again. Right. This is just not my normal life.
The Chipotle comment is so everyman.
By the way, how much is Chipotle scrambling this morning for their tweet or their marketing campaign or their advertising offer?
I don't know if you guys, I did. I'm like, which Chipotle is this? I'm trying to like, you know, profile the area. Like, hey, okay, where is it? Where does he live? You know, let's just try to find the one that's closest to him, but also like, you know, not.
That's a man enjoys burrito bowl.
Yeah, right. But like, that is so every man. Like, this guy's worth hundreds of millions of dollars just going to get, you know, a burrito bowl. And it's like, all right, does he get double chicken? Does he scrounge for the guac?
You can't get a Chipotle order for less than $18. I feel like nowadays.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
You're like, a burrito, $10 burrito. No, that guacamole will kill you.
Yeah, and is he a salad guy? Is he the bowl? Is he the full burrito? That full burrito, that thing's hefty.
All right, I've got my guess.
Okay.
I've got my guess at which location.
We don't need to be doing this.
I can't guess.
We don't care. We don't need to be outing his Chipotle.
We don't know. It's a guess.
We don't care.
You just know that I'm so good that I'll guess it right.
No, you're just off to a bad start this week, and this is not the week to do it before next week. All right, either way, RJ Choppy says it's time for the conversation.
Yeah, is he the second best golfer you've seen behind Tiger? We're kind of at that point where the talks can happen. He's one away now from a career Grand Slam. He needs to have the U.S. Open.
So I'm trying not to be a victim of the moment. My first thought was water fills numbers. My second thought is don't overreact and compare this to the last run that we saw like this, especially locally. So what are Phil's overall numbers? I think Phil's got six.
Phil has six majors.
And what did Spieth do in his mini run compared to this? Those are my two questions before we move it forward.
Spieth won a Masters, a U.S. Open, back-to-back, same year, did him. And then he won the Open Championship a few years later. So he's looking for the PGA. Scotty has got a couple of Masters,
okay,
and a PGA, and now a British Open. So he's looking for the U.S. Open.
So four versus three.
Phil has 45 PGA Tour wins. So 45 PGA Tour wins. Like you said, the six majors. He's got three Masters titles, two PGA, and one Open championship. So he never won the U.S. Open. His career, he's won the same tournaments that Scotty has. Scotty has held the position of number one in the world for over 100 weeks.
What do you think is the second best way to judge the career greatness? I'm trying to think of a metric. Do you think it's number of weeks top one, top two, top five? How many top five finishes in a tournament that tells me about your overall consistency? Because my mind right now is telling me, no research behind it, Scotty is going to finish. I think of Scotty finishing top five more than Phil. Phil could come out with this amazing performance and have the whole world and course chanting his name. But is it top five finishes? Is it number of weeks number one or number two or number three? What do you think is a good metric?
All right, so
to use to judge this?
I think, you know, in terms of the majors you're talking about, or no, just in general?
Majors is one.
Majors.
We all go to majors first.
Right.
What do you think is second? What would be your greatness scale second metric?
All right, so I'll just use Jack, for example. Jack has the most major championships. He has 18. All right. He has 19 second place finishes in a major.
Wow.
Like, that's the one I use for, like, so for like, that's like, okay, how great are you? You won this many times. How many times you finish second?
Yeah.
Like, that to me is another sign of greatness. So I would use, I guess,
second place.
I guess second place.
All right.
So if you go to Phil in all, oh, wait, no, this is Scotty. Scotty's got 2 second place finishes in majors.
Okay.
All right. Phil has 12. Phil finished second 6 times at the U.S. Open.
Now I can counter back and say, if he was as good as Scotty, he'd have less than 12 second place finishes.
Right, yeah, look, he did. You know, so Phil played in 129 majors. He made the top 10 in 40 of them. It's pretty good.
I can't break down irons and putting and driving like you can, Scotty versus Phil. It feels like it is. It's not, doesn't feel like Scotty's stranglehold is more because Phil had Tiger.
But
Scotty has Rory. So it just feels like he's better because he doesn't have Tiger.
He didn't have Tiger. You could do a big comparison with Brady Manning.
Like, Scotty will never be as popular as Phil. That's already done and over with. He doesn't have the personality.
No, none of the personality. Scotty's a better iron player. Phil
doesn't have the gambling debts.
Phil had more. Phil could work.
Although Scotty's done more time, I guess, than Phil.
He has done more time than Phil.
Scott, it seemed like Phil was going to do time.
Yeah. Scotty's a better iron player than Phil. Phil had better.
Like, he was the trick shot artist.
Trick shot artist. He could do anything with the golf club. Like, he knew he was a more student of the game. It really is. Like, the comparisons between Phil and Peyton Manning are one. They're all the same. They're like these nerds, students of the game. When they're on their game, nobody's better, but they're not always on their game. And they had
Peyton kind of was.
I was going to say, I always felt like Peyton was on his game. He just was not always better than Brady.
Right, but like if Phil played at his absolute peak, absolute A game, he was the best player on the course. He was
better than Tiger at his absolute peak?
Tiger, seriously, Tiger always played at a 99. Phil had 104.
And drove 99.
Tiger just always played at 99. It was crazy. Brady's the same way. Brady just always played at 99.
So is he the second best golfer you've seen?
Who, Phil?
No, Scotty.
Scotty.
Or Phil.
I think Phil still, like, Scotty's only not even halfway to Phil's tour titles. And he's at, you know, he's 30 almost. I don't know if he's going to get 25 more to get, I don't know. I think it's close. I think I would still lean Phil. But, man, Phil's done winning majors. That last one he got, you know, by the skin of his teeth a couple years ago as a 50-something-year-old. I think Scotty will pass him in majors, no doubt. So he eventually will, I think, eclipse that. But right now, I mean, I just can't say that he's better than Phil.
Jordan Spieth on what makes Scotty so great.
He doesn't care to be a superstar. He's not transcending the game like Tiger did. He's not bringing it to non-golf audience necessarily. He doesn't want to go do, you know, the stuff that, you know, a lot of us go do corporately, anything like that. He just wants to get away from the game and separate the two, because I know that he, you know, at one time felt it was too much that he was taking it with him. And, you know, whenever he made that switch, I don't know when it was, but, you know, to have his hobbies, you know, he's always with his family. You know, they're always doing stuff. So I think it's more so the difference in personality from any other superstar that you've seen in the modern era and maybe any sport. I don't think anybody's like him.
So there it is. All the greatness being showered down on Scottie Scheffler dominating at the Open Championship. 877-881-1053 is the number to text. It's also the number to call to win these this week.
God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
All right, Tolles, that's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Billy Currington and Kit Moore on Friday, August 1st at the Pavilion at the Toyota Music Factory. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers after an impressive way to start off the second half of the season. That is coming up at 8 o'clock here on Sean and RJ. We'll have that Billy Currington ticket giveaway all week long. Let's recap your weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
Let us know what you did. Good, bad, scandalous, his best and worst of the weekend. To recap on DFW Sports Station with Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. I wanted to start with Peyton Phillip Russell because he took the trip and was out last week on vacation, but he is on the phone right now with a ticket winner. I'll start off because we're talking about the Rangers anyway. Bess was taking Ollie very, very full weekend. Took Oliver because of the radio station. I won some contests within the building.
Well,
to go to the Ranger game. The great Karen Vickery was out there as well. And it was fun with the father-in-law and the wife and taking Ollie Texas live with the pregame. Just going in there, showing Ollie the big board, the video board. He had never seen all the different games that you can play with the kids. And then going in there and enjoying the free food, free drink. Special shout-outs, though. The highlight was not the game. It was a boring game. It was 0-0, like into the seventh. But Chuck Morgan, Eric Nadell, Matt Hicks, Jared Sandler making it a true VIP experience. Sandler's like, I'll take you upstairs to the broadcast booth. Meet me by Chuck. And I was like, I thought Chuck was upstairs. Where's Chuck? He's like, here's where you go. And I'm walking around, and I see this room.
Have you not seen that? But you've never seen that.
I had not seen this room that Dude, Chuck cool. Moore. Yeah. It is bad ass. And I'm like, this is where you work? And everyone who walks by just sees, like, a Chuck Morgan jersey sitting on the chair, and he's in his, like, cathedral looking over. It's like, you know, you got the Brad Sham broadcast booth. You got it for the great PA voice. And I'm like texting Chuck, hey. I texted him a picture from behind, and everyone just sitting there. They know Chuck Morgan. They're sitting there staring. And during a little break, he brought us in there, made us feel and look very important. He gives Ollie a bunch of bobbleheads. So thanks to Chuck Morgan for that. Then we went upstairs. Nadell let up. Nadell, I hope he doesn't get mad at me for saying this. He's broadcasting without the shoes on. Got the very comfortable. And I'll
socks.
Yes, socks. Bobby will walk around here sometimes with no shoes. I'll kick my shoes off sometimes. But I noticed that in the picture that we took, he let Oliver sit down. Jared set it up, put on the headset right in between Hixie and Nadell, overlooking the field. Jared hooking him up with a baseball bat and other goodies. So that was the best of the weekend, giving him that Ranger experience because of Chuck and company.
That's cool. Yeah, the Chuck spot is fantastic. Now, I've not been up to the to Nadell's booth. I don't know how it compares to the old one. The old ballpark had the best spot. That was the best level, the best distance, the best height up, the best spot to be able to see and judge fly balls. I have no idea about the new one, whether it's the same.
It was so long ago that I was up in the booth on the old stadium. This one I think this one's higher. Like, I think this one's up a little ways. Yeah.
My worst is, I think I'm going to have some separation daughter anxiety in Oxnard.
You are, or she is?
Both.
Oh.
Ollie went for the first time and slept outside the house. He slept over at his grandparents Saturday. And, you know, I wanted to FaceTime him after like 2 hours. Like, I felt like I was missing him a little bit. But this bonding that has taken place with Ava, I told Amanda. Amanda's not going to believe me because she thinks we're just going out and surfing every day in California. And so does your wife, by the way, as they got together yesterday. I found out and discussed this. But I'm like, I told her, I think I'm going to have some Ava separation anxiety on this trip going away. I should just stay back like Dawson or Hagelin.
This is where the full girl dad change and softening will occur. I'll tell you exactly when it'll be. It'll be almost 2 weeks away, Friday when we land again, and they're waiting at the airport, and she comes running through the area, and she's all excited. You're gonna melt.
No, nope, because I'll remember last time I saw her in an airport.
Nope, you're gonna melt. I promise you.
And the Tolos were hitting me up saying, "Why was it?" Because Karen Vickery, the great sales legend in the building, she had her 8-month-old granddaughter, and I was cursing. I was cursing to Karen. I was like, screw you, Karen. Screw these parents. Cool-ass parents. Because this 8-month-old was a saint. Went to sleep there at the game. And the Tolos were like, why didn't you take your daughter to the game? I said, she's still on leave. She's still on punishment. She's not allowed out in public.
On punishment.
She's not allowed at public events like that because of the airplane. But we'll see what happens when we land.
Speaking of daughters, 254 celebrated the adoption of my daughter on Saturday. Shout out Jordan Searcy.
Well done. Well done.
All right, Pepe. Been dying to hear about Floribama. Best and worst of the weekend as you were gone on the beach.
Well, some call it Florida Bama. I call it the Gulf of America. That's where Florida I was at.
Florida Bama? Your fiance definitely calls it the Gulf of America. Yeah. I saw that post.
Yeah, what a name. You give me a hat. I wanted a hat for the Gulf of America.
Yeah, wow. I think someone.
And by the way, real quick, Uncle Bud, I've been meaning to talk about this for a few days. He heard me talking about Cabo when I came back from Cabo, decided just to go there because I was bragging about it so much. Never had a passport, never been out of the country, went to Cabo, and got engaged.
Whoa. That's awesome. Congrats.
Congratulations, Bud. I was flattered that he took my advice. It's not bold advice to say go to Cabo or a resort.
Cabo's great. We love Cabo.
He went and got it done.
Got to go back. It's that's our next place. Because we went to Cabo, then we went back to Cancun. And we're like, no, we're done with Cancun. It's only Cabo from here on out.
Sorry, Pepe, go ahead.
So the picture I think you're referencing when Mackenzie posted on her Instagram and said, you know, it was just a location, Gulf of America. She wasn't like captioning it or anything, just it's a location. It's what's called now. It's on the map. And some guy DM'd her and was like, you're in education. You should know better. Ooh. You know, it's Gulf of Mexico. What a loser you are. But yeah, so it was my first. I said, go talk to RJ about that. So I survived my first family vacation with Mackenzie's side of the family. Last year, she went with my family to Italy. And I knew immediately it was two differences really on the family vacations. Mine was my family, when we go somewhere, it's like we got to do something. You know, we're here. We can sit back, watch TV, relax at home. You know, in
itinerary.
DFW. Yep, there's got to be something. And it's like, you know, from 8 a.m. until, you know, dinner at night and some drinks later on, you know, we're doing something. And it's still relaxing because you're away. But, you know, we like to do something. With her family, it's get up. And if you want to go do something, you can go do it. There's cars available. You can drive away. And so I really liked that. It was different. You know, I was like, okay, I'm up at 8 a.m., you know, 7 a.m. every morning. Yeah. What are we doing? I have my coffee. I'm waiting there. I've got my shoes on. I'm like, guys, where are we going? They're like, no, just sit back. We'll do something around lunchtime, noon, 1 o'clock. You know, we'll be fine. I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. Yeah. So, but shout out to Mackenzie's aunt and uncle. They had their beach house out there in Orange Beach. Right. Very nice property they have out there. So, you know, they had a pool there, everything. It was right by the water. Not the sand part of it, but it was right by, you know, where you just go outside the backyard gate, and you just got the water right there. They had a couple boats available. They have their...
Well, you're saying that, like, the water is right there, two steps off the balcony, no beach, no sand.
Yeah, there was no sand right there. This was just, like, you know, walkway, you know, like a sidewalk, and then there were rocks and stuff, but there was water right there. But they had, like, their boats and stuff docked right off to the side of the house. So, yeah, they had their... I found out they had a boat driver available. They said, Yeah, they said, whenever you need him, you just call him up, and he'll take you on the boat. So he took us out a couple times. We went around town.
Dude, I'm reading Peyton's best and worst, and Amanda, I'll be reading them out loud, and she's like, he's rich. You guys have got this all wrong. He lives the most undercover rich life of anyone that we talk about.
Yeah, like, I mean, how many, three trips a year where he's like, I'm going to Scotland, we're going to Vancouver, we're going to Vegas just randomly.
He throws in there all expenses paid. Yeah.
Oh. And he's so rich, he can actually see Seattle from Vancouver.
Without binoculars. Yeah. No, well, it's like, it's family that's rich. I'm not the rich one, just family, but I just benefit from them. But yeah, they had told me ahead of time, McKinsey's family, all expenses paid for. You just pay for your flight. I said, you know what? I'm down. Tell me when and where.
There you go.
And McKinsey, they went out there like last Thursday. They don't leave until later on this afternoon, so they've been out there for 10
she's
11
still
days.
There
she's still there. They went out and they took a long vacation. I was like, I'll do a week, you know, after like 6 or 7 days. It's like I'm just ready to go back home.
Yeah, it felt like you were there forever.
Yeah, I got there Sunday night, early evening Sunday night, but yeah, and then left Saturday after late afternoon, early evening. So but yeah, so it was in Orange Beach, Alabama. We went to a couple restaurants. You know, I had the Bushwhacker out there. That's a very popular drink. I never had it.
What is it?
It's ice cream, but it's got just a bunch of like liquor, coffee, liqueur in there as well. But see, the thing with me is I liked it. You know, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
But they drank it like it was like, you know, a beer or something. Like really? they just drank it after they had like three or four. And I was
like, sounds like you can only have one and maybe after dinner or maybe to wake up with.
Because I've never been like a huge Bailey's fan. Like if it's like ice cream and like dairy with alcohol, it's like I can't get a good buzz off that. I drink it and I'm like, I need just sit here and rest. I can't do that. You know? That.
Yeah.
But I liked it, you know, and they all got like.
So that's the famous Alabama drink, a Bushwhacker.
I think so. That's what they had me
Aiden
try out
shaking
there.
His head yes.
Yep. It's a Southern thing, but I mean, it was good. It was good to try it once, but yeah, I wouldn't, you know, keep drinking it after that. Let's see here, but yeah.
You got some gifts?
I did get some gifts. Her aunt said, you know what? One day, let's go shopping out there. Let's go shopping. And I said, okay.
Are the aunt and uncle loaded?
Yeah.
What are y'all laughing at? What are you doing? What's going on?
He just said, what did you say? What did you say about Bushwhacker?
I can't talk with these guys giggling.
What did you say about Bushwhacker? That it's the state drink of Alabama?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought it was lean.
But yeah, so her aunt said, no, let's go shopping one day. So we went out to the outlets there, and she was like, all right, you know, pick out some stuff you want. And I was like, oh, like, okay. Like, I was looking at the clearance section, you know, the clearance section.
The what?
Chill? I'm sorry, what? Chill has a clothing brand out there?
I threw it all together.
The clearance section,
yeah. But no, so I picked out some Ray-Bans, and she said, all
right. What, was the Machoda's out? The clearance section.
The clearance section. The hell?
Yeah. So
he's there to drive your boat?
I picked out some Ray-Bans and also some Lululemon shorts that I got as well. So very nice. Yes. So shout out to
Ray-Bans and Lululemon. And Lulu.
Boy, there you go. Yeah. You are rich.
No, again, the family's rich. They're old money. Right. He's new broke.
So would you go back there to vacation?
Yes.
Not at, but the aunt and uncle aren't there. Like, you don't have access to that house. Just the beach and the setup and the area and the people.
Yeah, because I love the beach. I mean, some people can, you know, they get bored out of a day or two of being out there. I could be on the beach and just, like, you know, because I like to swim around the water. I'm fine with that.
So you go, so you're not talking about, like, we like to go to the beach and then go to the pool at the beach.
Yep.
I don't want anywhere near the sand.
Oh, no. I'm all about the sand. I can lay out. I can walk, you know, go up to the water, swim around. I mean, if I have drinks or whatever, an umbrella, I can be out there for 7-8 hours.
It does exfoliate your feet, though. It makes your feet feel very good.
Best and worst of the weekend. Commercial-free expressway here on The Fan. I've been waiting days for this. The Julian punishment terms have been decided.
They have been decided. We've got the kids this week. And that means the punishment for Julian starts. Now, what did he do? He decided that my credit card was his credit card. And he decided to go on and buy all these in-app purchases. Nothing quite like going to your bank statement and just seeing in-app purchase after in-app purchase.
How much did it total up to? You were speculating $500.
It was $662.
Yes!
$662 is what the total was.
For a video game.
For video games. Yes, for video games. So, like, hey, special offer $7.99, special offer $14.99. This little twerp signed up for Apple TV monthly subscription, signed up for other monthly subscriptions for, I don't know.
He wasn't just buying gaming accessories.
He's buying skins. They call them skins. He's buying gems for Clash Royale, standard monthly subscription for some game that looks like it has a Z on it. I don't know.
Zelda.
Buying movies left and right on YouTube. I hope they weren't, like, adult.
I don't think you can buy those on YouTube.
I hope not. So, $662, and we have decided on a punishment. Okay, I'm teaching him about debt settlement. I said, "Are you familiar with debt settlement?" He goes, "I have no idea what that is."
Okay,
I said, "This is when you can't afford to pay your debt, and you make an agreement with the debt company, and you pay a portion of it, and then your credit goes to crap for about a 2-year span, and then you got to work that off."
Yep.
All right,
his trust credit is in the gutter.
Your credit's in the gutter. You're going to pay me a third of that cost, $220 you're going to pay me.
All right.
All right, it's $660. You're going to pay me $220.
Got it.
All right, and then you're about to be in Hell Week.
I love it.
All right.
Well done.
Baseboards.
Oh, the baseboards.
They've never been cleaned.
Oh, no.
8 years I've lived there. We've never cleaned them.
Oh, the baseboards.
They've got fur all on the caulk.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
He's
That's the number one thing I want to hire someone to do for our house.
Cleaning the baseboards. Toilets? Listen, our toilet brush doesn't get up underneath, but a toothbrush will.
No.
Oh, yeah, he's toothbrushing those things.
No.
Military. What?
I said you're doing military boot camp
Military boot camp. You know, I like to mow the lawn, so I'm not going to make him mow the lawn. If he picks the weeds, they're just going to grow back. So I'm going to make him, you know, spot treat. And then, you know, he's going to have his phone this week because I don't want to punish myself, but
yeah,
he goes nowhere. No friends,
ooh,
no nothing. And I'm really taking a hit here because I bought him a season pass to Hawaiian Falls, And I'm trying to get the most out of this bang for the buck.
What has he started? Because I am not going to trust that you are going to be hardcore enough to enforce it.
Well, he has. We don't have him yet. We get him this week.
Oh, this week.
He hasn't started anything yet.
All right.
He'll start everything, probably tomorrow.
What was his reaction to the terms?
You know, he was like, okay, I think he thinks he got away with something. Because he has no...
He didn't want to lose that phone.
He has no frame of reference on money. And that's the problem. Like, I'm taking $200 from him. He doesn't know what that means. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
What am I going to use it for?
Right.
I said, you know, he's like, it's just in my bank account. He goes, take it out of my bank account. Just go ahead, get it. I don't...
Will he do the manual labor?
Yes. Yeah, or we'll take the full money.
Yeah. I like it. Well done.
This is a critical period, though. Yes, it's well done. It's a critical period. Because this is like the first time he's been like a lot of trouble with you, right?
Yeah, yes, he has not really gotten into big time trouble.
So as somebody with six brothers who were getting in trouble all along, and then with Jacob coming up, this is the pivot point usually where it's like, okay, do they start learning from this or do they just like, all right, well, if I'm going to be in trouble, I might as well do what, like if I'm just going to be in trouble, I'll keep doing whatever I want to do. And then they can get into a cycle. Or they just go like, I don't want that again, and I'm going to start doing better.
Well, you know, I mean, this is where you teach them about good behavior and parole. You know, like, you know.
Just have them watch Shawshank or like The Wire.
Yeah, if you're really on good behavior,
yeah.
Then, you know, we'll let you off early. If you're not, then we'll send you to that back room.
Are you going to try to make him have a schedule for the week? Or are you just going to trust him to come home like today or tomorrow and do it on his own?
No, we're gonna have a schedule.
Like, okay.
Yeah, because I need to monitor.
You're gonna do it today? You're gonna start today?
We'll probably start tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, today's orientation.
Okay. That's right.
You know, you get your first day in prison. You get your cleans.
Orientation.
You get your laundry. Yeah. That's day one. That's orientation.
Give right. Scotty jumpsuit.
Yep.
Best and worst of the weekend here on Sean and RJ. Choppy and Bobby believe that the Rangers offense is fixed and why we are the most interesting team at the deadline, according to this great baseball insider. Diamond Cavs on your home for Texas Rangers baseball next.